You're listening to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. And today's intro was by Redbone. That one is a classic here at Unceded Airwaves. We broadcast every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Lisa, and I am the daughter of the Tsimshian Nation. My mother is from Loch Wallams, and I grew up in Prince Rupert. I acknowledge that I am an uninvited guest on the Musqueam territory while I study on the UBC campus. And we have a very full day today here on Unceded Airwaves. We have quite a few Indigenous Collective members who are participating today now that our time's a bit freed up after classes. So why don't we start off with Mario. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hi, my name is Mario. I'm Niskat from my mother. I'm majoring in First Nations Indigenous Studies at UBC.
Hi, I'm Nikita. I'm from the Tahltan Nation, and I grew up in Smithers, which is on Wet'suwet'en territory, and a third-year student here at UBC in the GRSJ department.
Thanks for joining us, Nikita. Thank you. And we have Josh Kiyoki.
Yeah, I'm Josh Kiyoki. I'm originally from the Attawabiskat First Nation, but I've lived in a number of places. I guess the most recent of which is unceded Musqueam territory as I study at UBC.
And thank you so much for coming on today. Is this your first show live?
It really is.
Excellent.
I'm quite happy to be here. So,
and we're thrilled to have you. Well, let's get into it. We want to thank you for tuning in to Season 2, Episode 9. Can't believe we're already at Episode 9.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's crazy. This week, we are doing a call-in, call-out show, which means we're calling people for their stories, and you, our listeners, are welcome to call us to share your stories. And we're going to do our best to try and answer the phone. Last week, we had a bit of trouble. But this week, we are asking you to call us with any story that you'd like to tell. It doesn't have to be about anything specific. But we'll start off by asking you to introduce yourself with your name, your nation, or your hometown, however you'd like to self-locate, much like how we do in our intro. Then we'd love it if you could share a story with us. This week we have contributions from Blake DeJarlay, Bernadette McDab, and my mom, Jennifer Sampson. Plus, we'll be hearing from our Indigenous Collective members throughout the show as well.
We are the Indigenous Collective. Every week we put together this show to discuss entertainment, issues, and current events as they relate to Indigenous communities. We are a collective Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use the weekly airtime as an opportunity for our own self-representation.
Yes, and self-representation in the media is something that Indigenous people don't often have access to, but this gives us the opportunity to define who we are as Indigenous people instead of relying on inaccurate representations that we tend to see in broadcast media. It can be really difficult to find relatable Indigenous role models and people in the media more generally. So this is our opportunity to highlight some of the influential Indigenous people around there.
So if you're listening to this and are wondering how you can become involved, please let us know. You can always reach us on our social media. And we also have an Indigenous Collective meeting tomorrow from 4 until 5 at the Kafka Cafe in Mount Pleasant.
That one is going to be exciting because we're actually off campus and we get to hang out somewhere outside of the station.
I'm looking forward to that. It should be good.
Yeah.
If something in this show resonates with you, strikes a chord, we'd love to hear from you. So if you want to come out to the meeting and let us know, otherwise, you can let us know on our social media.
And everyone is welcome to come out to the meeting, whether you're Indigenous or non-Indigenous, just as long as you identify with the show and what we're doing here. But our goal here is to center the voices of Indigenous people and to create narratives that empower our stories. You can follow Unceded Airwaves on Facebook and on Twitter. And if you have an Indigenous artist that we should know about, you can send us a tweet using the hashtag UnceitedMusic or send us a Facebook message at Unceited Airwaves, and we'll do our best to get it on the air. And if we play a song that you send to us, we'll give you a shout out on the show. This week, we have our music programmer, Hannah Leung, contributing this week's music, and we are very grateful for that. So you'll be checking out some new tunes on today's show.
That's awesome. We're always looking to hear from our listeners and what you're up to. So let us know about any Indigenous artists you're into right now and what events you're attending or promoting. As always, we'll post a link to the podcast of this episode after the show. We'll have our weekly Unceited events listing to share a little later in the show.
And our continued thoughts are with the occupation camps near and far, the Leelu Island Warriors in Tsimshian territory, who are occupying the territory where Petronas is trying to build an LNG facility, as well as the Unistoten and Madilie occupation camps, who are occupying their territories in the path of fossil fuel pipelines in the Northwest.
And we must acknowledge the Standing Rock Lakota Sioux tribe, who have successfully forced the Dakota Access Pipeline to halt construction and reroute the pipeline project away from their treaty lands. So the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers denied a permit for the company to drill in the area, officially halting construction on the Dakota Access Pipeline. So that's excellent news.
That's awesome news. And we're going to start off the discussion today to talk about storytelling a little bit more broadly. And since this show is a call-in, call-out show, and we're asking you to share your stories, we thought we'd talk a little bit about the role of storytelling. And who better to start off that discussion than none other than Thomas King. This is a clip that we took from the Massey Lecture.
There's a story I know. It's about the Earth and how it floats in space on the back of a turtle. I've heard the story many times, and each time someone tells the story, it changes. Sometimes the change is simply in the voice of the storyteller. Sometimes it changes in the details. Sometimes in the order of events. Other times it's the dialogue or the response of the audience. But in all of the tellings of all the tellers, the world never leaves the turtle's back, and the turtle never swims away. One time it was in Prince Rupert, I think, a young girl in the audience asked about the turtle in the earth. If the earth was on the back of a turtle, what was below the turtle? Another turtle, the storyteller told her. And below that turtle, another turtle. And below that, another turtle. Well, the girl began to laugh, enjoying the game, I imagine. So how many turtles are there, she wanted to know. The storyteller shrugged. No one knows for sure, he told her, but it's turtles all the way down. The truth about stories is that that's all we are. The Okanagan storyteller Jeanette Armstrong tells us that through my language, I understand I'm being spoken to. I am not the one speaking. The words are coming from many tongues and mouths of Okanagan people and the land around them. I am a listener to the language of stories, and when my words form, I am merely retelling the same stories in different patterns.
I just love that intro clip from Thomas King talking about, that was actually from his Massey Lecture, talking about storytelling. And before we came on air, we had a bit of a discussion just talking about the role of storytelling that I thought maybe we can continue on air talking about storytelling a bit more broadly. I know that it's an important form of knowledge transfer from generation to generation. And since the majority of us come from an oral culture, this is our form of education. It doesn't come from books. Our knowledge is based on the knowledge of our ancestors that's passed down through storytelling. And with that, I like the idea of keeping the conclusion of a story open-ended, up for interpretation. I find that a lot of Western kind of pedagogies involve coming to a conclusion. You know, this is the definitive ending. This is how it is. But I don't know. I feel like that's not that's only one way to tell a story. I feel like with storytelling, you can keep it up for interpretation, and that allows people to interpret it how they want and use that information when they need to. But obviously, the lens we're using here at Unceited Airwaves is an Indigenous lens. Even though we might keep it open for discussion, I mean, it's still coming from our personal perspectives. Josh, you had a good point earlier talking about how storytelling defines how you know yourself.
Yeah, I think the overwhelming majority of stories that get told about you will certainly come to define how you see yourself and how others see you. So I think the great thing about the Indigenous Collective is that we're centering stories as they're told by Indigenous people about Indigenous people, and not a Hollywood movie representation of ourselves. So I think there's certainly power in being able to start defining yourself by the stories you tell. It certainly affects how you might see yourself. But then again, I'm also not going to try to nail down a definition of what storytelling necessarily means. That's just one thing.
Yeah, that's just one part of the story of storytelling, I think. And that kind of plays into what you were talking about as well, Mario, about the Indigenous Collective providing the opportunity to hold space.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of the really beautiful things about coming together as a group, specifically in the radio collective, is that we get to facilitate and hold space for all kinds of Indigenous voices. We're here in Vancouver, which is made up of several different Indigenous communities, not just the original people that are from here, Musqueam,
Squamish,
and Tsleil-Waututh.
Yeah.
But there's a huge Nisga'a community. I know your community, Tsimshian, also here, and so on and so forth, straight across all of Turtle Island.
And that's been through a process of urbanization, migration, that kind of thing.
And so one of the great things is that we have access to these communities and getting to share or hold a space so that we can continue to share those stories amongst ourselves. In several of our episodes previous, we've had several of those various members from different communities share their stories.
Absolutely. And also, I think that it provides the opportunity for us to better understand each other and ourselves. I know, for myself, I'm a Tsimshian person. I'm a settler in these territories. I acknowledge that. But being able to speak with Larry Grant in the first episode, he's a Musqueam elder, and just that conversation just really broadened my understanding of what it meant to be here in this territory. So, opportunities like that, and also for our listeners who are listening, who might not know any of these stories, who might not know about Indigenous culture, but who are here listening and willing to learn, I think that's phenomenal as well.
I agree. And I think one of the great things about that Massey Hall lecture that Thomas King gave is that he really breaks apart and collapses the false idea and narrative that there's this one narrative about Indigenous peoples. And I think one thing that we showcase here all the time is that we are many and we are strong, and we're not afraid to say that. And I think having that diversity of voice really helps to bring nuance to our collective.
Absolutely. Josh, did you have any other points that you wanted to maybe chat about? I know you've read Thomas King quite a few times.
I mean, The Truth About Stories is a great, pretty good volume. I like it a lot. I had to read it for class, but that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it. A lot of good things in there about subverting the master narrative, if you want to call it that. But also just telling kind of odd stories that you wouldn't necessarily expect. Those are kind of my favorite stories that spring out from, I think there is maybe a tendency to want to be, I'm going to be as authentic as possible and traditional. For someone like me, who's been mostly growing up and living outside of my own territory, I don't have too many traditional experiences to draw from. So I think stories like a time I decided I wanted to buy a book about our territory, about Treaty 9 territory, but I wanted to make sure that the author was okay by me. So I called up my dad, and we had this long, protracted discussion about this author who wrote Treaty 9, about, well, what did he do when he was in the community? What did he not do? And having a weird, prolonged discussion in the middle of a bookstore with my dad about some book some white guy wrote, I feel like that's that's no less valuable to my experience as an Indigenous person than say, well, I don't know, something like, I don't know, going hunting, which I've never done. So I like things that are weird and a little off kilter, but also things that you don't necessarily expect. And I think sororities offer a way to broaden what you think about anyone. And so getting those stories told is important to me.
I love that point that being in a bookstore and talking to your dad about the author of a book about your territory is also a story. That is definitely a part of your experience. And that's something that is unique to your perspective as an Indigenous person. So that is, I think that is entirely valid.
I agree. I also like your last point too. I really feel like as Indigenous peoples, as colonized peoples, it's really important to really think about ourselves in relationship to other people as well. You know, we weren't the only people here that were colonized. We have an ongoing relationship with many other communities, and I think it's important to recognize that as well in our own stories. You know, as we, especially as myself, Niskot, coming from up north, coming down south to Vancouver, I think of myself in that relationship, as well as the various communities that I find myself belonging to or interacting with. And I think in those stories really brings out those kind of nuances and real complexity that we share as Indigenous peoples.
Absolutely, because we don't have one story. I think one of the other points that I just really wanted to bring up was the responsibilities of sharing, as well as listening and receiving stories. So when you hear a story, what I always think about is how you need to be conscious about who that story was intended for. So if you're listening to a story, who was the story initially meant for? Was it for just you? Was it for a wide audience? What are you going to do with that story afterwards? Are you going to listen to it and do nothing with that information? Or are you going to take that responsibility with you into the world? And I'm not saying that I have all the answers to these questions, but they're just things to think about as you're listening to stories, whether it's on unceded airwaves or whether it's in a more intimate environment, say you're in a circle or say, you know, you're watching a ceremony. You know, you got to always have these questions in the back of your mind, because not all stories are meant to be retold or retold in the same way, or, you know, maybe they're not even intended for specific audiences. So just some things to think about. Did you guys have any last points about storytelling more broadly? I'm going to take that as a no. So as I mentioned earlier, we have some new music to play on the show. We have a song coming up by Silver Jackson called Constellations Shine, which actually reminded me that coming up in the next week, the Geminids meteor shower is going to be happening. It's one of the biggest meteor showers of the year, cool. And it's scheduled for the next week, right? I'm so excited.
Yeah, that sounds great.
The meteor shower can actually be seen between December 4th and December 17th, so it's already underway. But the peak activity is going to be the night of Tuesday, December 13th, and the early morning of December 14th. However, there's also going to be a bright full moon / supermoon. I'm not even entirely sure what the difference is. It seems like there's a lot of supermoons these days.
Oh, well, we need all those extra babies coming out from that. So
that might make it a bit difficult to see the shooting stars. But, you know, you can always watch a few days before or a few days after as well. But the meteor shower owes its name to the constellation Gemini, from where the meteors seem to originate from. But unlike most other meteor showers, the thing that's cool about this is that these meteors are associated with not a comet, but an asteroid. So the asteroid takes about 1.4 years to orbit the sun. This is getting really nerdy. I'm sorry, guys, but I'm so excited about this. But it takes about a little over a year to orbit the sun. So that's why it happens around every December. But you can find a dark place. You can see around 120 meteors per hour at its peak, which is pretty awesome.
That sounds great. And I think maybe just to kind of spark off of that, like, it'd be great to have a Indigenous astronomy show.
Right?
Yeah, a segment on that.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I can't consider myself an astronomer.
Key point on the usefulness of understanding stories. I have no idea what you're talking about with the babies and the moon. I don't know what the connection is, but that's because I just don't know what you're talking about. But had I heard the stories, I totally would. And that's just serendipitously a great example of lack of communication that can occur if you just, you're going off the different sets of stories.
For sure.
I think also, as an Indigenous person, references don't always get to everyone, especially because we're from such diverse places. You know, maybe other Nishkaap people would get it, but I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be explained all the time. But anywho, that was my rant. I wanted to talk about the Geminids meteor shower coming up next week. So we're going to play a song here. This is Silver Jackson with Constellations Shine. That was Silver Jackson with Constellations Shine. That was a new song for us to play here on Unceded Airwaves. My name is Lisa Gerbov, and you're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. And so for this call-in, call-out show, I think that we forgot to mention the number to call. It's 604-822-CITR, and I don't have a phone in front of me. I don't know what those letters are. But yeah, so if you want to call us, you can call us at 604-822-CITR. You can share a story with us for today's storytelling show. Josh, Kiyoki, and I, last week we had the idea that for this show, who else would we want to speak to? None other than Justin Trudeau.
The Trude himself.
The Trude himself.
Prince Justin.
The exact guy that we wanted to interview for the show.
We want him on. I feel like
we
still want him on. Hard man to reach, as it turns out. But more about that later, I guess.
Yeah, so we actually tried calling him yesterday in advance of the show, and it was a little surprising. a little surprising what we found.
I'm more or less unsurprised by our efforts.
All right, so this is what happened when we called Justin Trudeau. Check it out.
All right, Google Justin Trudeau. Nope. Justin Trudeau contact info. Here we go. 613. Okay. Let's see here. Contact Justin Trudeau.
Hello?
Did you get him?
I think it was a fax machine.
All right, this is obviously not working. Josh, do you want to give it a try?
I can give it a go. I got this number off of the internet.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so I feel like we're bound to have some success here. Do I just dial this number?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I mean, worst case scenario, we'll just be connected to somebody who can, you know, transfer us over.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I assume so. Pretty sure he is in Ottawa today, by the way. I was creeping his Twitter, so he should be in the office.
Information service renseignement.
Hello. Hi. My name is Josh Kiyoki. I'm with Unceded Airwaves on Unceded Musqueam territory. I was hoping to speak to Justin Trudeau.
Okay, one moment.
Prime Minister's office, but it's Prime Minister.
Hello. My name is... hello?
Yes.
Hi. My name is Josh Kiyoki. I'm with Unceded Airwaves. We broadcast from Unceded Musqueam territory. Okay. I was hoping to speak to Justin Trudeau, if that's possible today.
He's not available, but you could leave a message to one of the Prime Minister's assistant.
Okay.
Please.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Welcome.
Many people call the Prime Minister's office every day to offer their opinions on issues of interest or concern to them. Unfortunately, at this time, it is not possible to put you in contact with an official.
Okay.
If you wish to do so, we invite you to leave a message or your name and phone number so we can call you back. De nombreuses personnes téléphonent chaque jour au cabinet du Premier ministre pour l'informer de leur point de vue sur des sujets qui les intéressent ou les
préoccupent.
Malheureusement,
we'll get back to us. Well, we'll let them know when we're calling tomorrow, or when we're on air tomorrow. Maybe he'll call in.
C'est un message ou votre nom et un numéro de téléphone où l'on pourra vous rejoindre.
Hello, I'm Josh Kiyoki. I'm calling on behalf of the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Our program is Unceded Airwaves, and tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we're having our call-in, call-out show. We're hoping that perhaps Justin Trudeau might be interested in calling in, offering his perspective on things. So what number can we be reached at? We can be reached at 1-604-822-9623. It would be great if you could give us a call. That'd be great.
If you are satisfied with your message...
Oh, did we hung up on that lady, right?
Oh, did we?
No, she was just recording. But we hung up on them?
Yeah.
That's all good?
Yeah, the
okay.
Phone's off.
I don't think they're calling us back.
Well, not with that message. I don't even think we gave them the right number.
Did we not?
No, we gave them the one of the studio numbers, not the on-air studio.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Do you have a number we could try? Do you have another number we could try and call?
What time is it over there?
Well, why don't we take a break here and we'll try calling him back. So we decided to take a little break there, and we're going to try and call him back a little bit later on in the show. We got to save some of the excitement, give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe Justin's going to call us back, but we actually left him the wrong number, didn't we?
We did. The number is actually 604-822-CITR. So, Justin, that's the right number to reach us at, or anyone else also.
Or anyone. If you're not the Prime Minister, you're also welcome to call in and share
even
a story.
You are more welcome.
Even more welcome.
You need the platform.
Yeah.
I feel like Justin's Twitter, he gets a lot of, he has a lot of followers. People need a platform to talk about things. So please give us a call, 604-822-CITR.
And really, we just wanted to talk to Justin about what he was up to, what he was really thinking with the Kinder Morgan expansion. Like, I don't know. I'm just really upset by that, and I just really wanted to talk to Justin, and maybe confront him about some of these things. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair that he's doing this without consent. Not that we would give him consent on the air, but you know, this is a platform for discussion, right?
Yeah, I don't know if saying you're going to confront him is going to get him to call in. I would be keen to hear how he justifies that decision. I'm sure it sounds like something a politician would say. There's no judgment in that statement. I'm sure he is trying to do the right thing. I'm sure. I don't sound convinced, but that's...
No, you don't. You don't sound very convinced.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, so Justin, you're welcome to call us. We'll try and call you back later on today, just in case you were away from your office for a few minutes. But yeah, we're gonna try and reach out to him a little bit later on. Before then, though, we wanted to play a song and introduce a new Indigenous Collective member.
Hello.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi. I'm Hannah Leung. I've been studying here at UBC, and I've been living here on unceded Musqueam territory for 19 years.
19.
19.
Wow. So you just joined the collective, was it 2 weeks ago?
2 or 3 weeks ago?
2 or 3 weeks
Sometime
ago?
Sometime in November.
I've been trying to bring you on for a couple of weeks, though, before that, through our First Nations and Indigenous Studies course that we took together.
Yes, well, I'm here now.
Yay!
Thanks.
And you're our new music programmer.
Yes.
And so today you actually chose the music for the show. And can you tell us a bit about the artist or the song that we have coming up next?
Yes. So the artist that we have coming up next is Christian Parrish Takes the Gun. But you probably know him by his stage name Superman. And he is an Absaluke, sorry for my pronunciation, hip-hop artist from Seattle who actually chose his stage name at the spur of the moment at a DJ competition. And he just stuck with it. He got inspired to start making music after hearing a song by Lightfoot, who is a fellow Indigenous music artist. And Superman has received the title of MTV's Artist of the Week. And also, he's the recipient of multiple music awards, including the Native American Music Award, the Aboriginal People's Music Choice Award, the North American Indigenous Music Award. So he's a pretty cool guy to look out for.
Yeah, for sure. And if you check out his music videos online, he's phenomenal. He's dressed in full traditional clothing. But then at the same time, you can see him producing his music live. Not live. It's like a pre-produced video. But you could see the way that he creates his music through loop tracks. And it's just a really cool way to showcase your music, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
So we're gonna post a link to this song on our Unceded Airwaves Twitter and our Facebook account. This is Superman Why.
Why do parents gotta bury their kids? Why we text and drive, not caring how scary it is? Why it's so hard to forgive and leave the past behind? And if you did, then that's the divine. Why don't you help your brother when you see him fall? Why do we act like God don't see it all? Why do we call them black, them white, them Asians and use labels? Now that's racism.
I don't want no hoe in it.
Why?
I don't want no hoe in it. Yo, why? I don't want no hoe in it.
Why?
I don't want no hoe in it. Yo, why?
I don't want no hoe in it.
Why? I don't want no hoe in it. Yo, why?
I don't want no hoe in it.
Why? I don't want no hoe in it. Yo, why?
Why is there innocent people locked up for life while some people can't say nothing nice? Why do we always gotta question what all of it means? And why won't you follow your dreams? Tell me why, the night when you took my dad, why'd you let me see my grandpa cry? And tell me why, and why do you choose to hide, even though you was born to fly? And tell me why, and why don't we turn from all the hate? And why don't we learn from all mistakes? Why do I keep on wrecking these fat beats? And teachers don't make more than professional athletes. And why?
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism, as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
All right, you're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 11.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Lisa Gerbov, and I am Simshan from the Simshan Territory. And for this next segment, I can't believe this is the first time that I've done this, but I called up my mom and asked her to share a story about anything, really. And so I called her up the other day, and I got some sweet tape that I wanted to share with you guys. Check this out. For this next segment, I reached out to my mom. I called her in Prince Rupert this past Sunday to see if she might have a story that she'd like to share with us at Unceded Airwaves. My mother is Jennifer Sampson. We are Simshan from the Simshan Territory, and she grew up in the community of Lhkwalams, or Port Simpson, as some people call it. And you'll notice halfway through the interview, she actually had a visitor come by her house, one of our very good friends, Bernie McNabb. And so I actually got two stories out of this from two different people. So check it out.
My name is Jennifer Sampson, and I am from Lhkwalams, which is 30 miles north of Prince Rupert, B.C. It is an Indian reserve with approximately 1,500 people. I grew up the first 16 years of my life in Lhkwalams, and then when I was 16 years old, I came to Prince Rupert to go to high school. My mother's name is Pauline Sampson. My father's name is Reginald Sampson. My mother's birth name is Pauline Gosnell. Lac Luams is a isolated Indian reserve, so during the wintertime we did not travel. Our parents did. Older people in the community traveled, but only when the weather was good. We're not known to travel because of the high winds and because of the high rate of death. So when I was a kid, it seemed like the snow was much higher than what it actually was. But where we were, the north wind would come in and it would be really cold. So we had to be very careful of not to get sick and not to get hurt because there were no flights in and out when the weather got bad. That's just the way it was. So anyway, come Christmas time around December when the snow started coming and you could really feel the weather change, my parents, meaning my dad and my older brothers, they would go out and they would chop wood, prepare for the winter. And I come from a huge family. I got 9 brothers and 6 sisters, and my grandfather was alive at that time. We had a huge house. And so during that time, you could imagine all of us sitting down at the table. The girls did their part with setting the table, and we never sat down to eat until my grandfather was present. Although my dad was the head of the household, we waited for my grandfather. And this happened every year. My friends at a very early age were my siblings. That's just the way it was. That's what I knew growing up. My older sisters looked after me. I helped look after the younger ones. Because I came from a big family, I'll share a memory with you. When I was approximately 6-7 years old, you got to remember that I have older brothers and younger brothers and sisters also. Anyway, my older brother had said to me one time, he goes, the first one up gets to have all the toys underneath the tree, if Santa Claus comes. He goes, but I don't think there's a Santa Claus. Anyway, I could not go to sleep because I used to get so excited about the whole event of Christmas, people coming and going. And my mom used to always say, and dad, you give and you give from the heart with no expectations because there are people who don't have what we had. And there will be people who have more than what we have. So that night, I don't even know what time I fell asleep, but I fell asleep. And I woke up, it was still dark, and the first thing that went through my head is that whatever is under the tree belongs to me. So I go bombing downstairs and into the living room, and I'm thinking, oh my God, it's all for me. Without thinking about my other siblings. So you got to think from a kid's perspective that it looks like so many toys. However, I had a lot of brothers and sisters. So anyway, that morning, I moved all the toys out, took all the tags off, because I thought all the toys were mine from what my older brother told me. So I moved it into another room. And my older siblings got up in the morning, and there was no toys. And they were like, Mom, we don't have any toys. Santa Claus didn't come. So could you imagine the devastation on kids? Meanwhile, I'm in the other room, totally enjoying all these toys that we all got. So first thing Mom does is she screams my name, and where are you? And walks into the room, and she looked at me, and she goes, Santa Claus didn't just bring you all of that. That is for your siblings also. And of course, my siblings are behind my mother, and I'm saying, no, 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 and she's saying, yes. So anyway, I ended up sharing with all my siblings the toys that were put under the tree. Lesson learned with my brother that he would not open his mouth again like that, saying that all first one to get up gets all the toys. Anyway, that's my memory with Christmas. I have so many good memories of my parents. For me, it was not a hard Christmas other than deaths that had happened within the family unit. But other than that, my parents did not, by the way, get us everything that we wanted. A lot of times we got clothes and most likely one toy. But it was the idea that we were all together, everybody was safe, and everybody was happy. Yeah.
I like that Uncle George told you.
I know, I'm trying not to laugh because I'm thinking about the memory too, right? And it was like, even he goes, oh my God, there's no toys, right? And one of the other memories that I have is that when we used to be out sleigh riding, and Mom and Dad would call us maybe about half an hour later, get us to come in. It was an oil stove that was in the kitchen. He had put the door down on the oil stove, put a blanket there, and get us to put our feet up. And he'd dry off our clothes, meaning our socks and our mittens, and wait for us to warm up, and then they'd let us go back out and play again. That's just the way it was.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mom.
You're welcome. Do you want to talk to Bernie and interview her?
Does Bernie have a story she can share?
Yeah, she could.
Okay.
Only because it's you.
Hi, Bernie.
Hi.
So as my mom was on the phone with me and she's telling me the story, one of our very close friends, Bernie McNabb, stopped by to visit my mom. And so my mom decided to throw her on the phone to see if she might have a story she'd like to share for the radio program Unceded Airwaves. Bernie is Wet'suwet'en and Gitsan. And the story that she shared with us was about one Christmas when her daughters were young. Well, I'll let her tell the story.
Well, you know what? It always ended up being that the best thing for them when they were young, and even, you know, and it even up until school age, it wasn't always about the gifts, right? You know, I remember them playing, you know, Ivy must have been 4 or 5, and so Amy was just a toddler, and that we got, I can't remember, we got a big washer, dryer, or something, freezer, I can't remember exactly what we got, but it came in a box, and so it ended up the best thing that they got out of it was the box, because it became their new fort, and they just loved that thing. They played in it for months and months.
And it's so great when you're a kid, too, because you have that opportunity to just explore your imagination. It's not just mm-hmm. a box. It's a mm-hmm. fort. And it mm-hmm. could be like a dollhouse, or it could be a barn. It could be anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that these battery-operated things just take away the imagination, right? Because they do things, right? So your mind goes with an expectation, where if it's just a doll with nothing, you know, then you create stuff around the doll rather than the doll creating its own thing, right? So it doesn't really require the same type of imagination.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, too, when you have like battery-operated toys, that there's almost a limit to what you can do with it. So once you've reached the limit, then what's the use of it afterwards?
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that description. I think that's pretty accurate. It really does have limitations. And you find them out pretty quickly, actually, where a doll, an inanimate object, can have an abundance it can be limitless, right? You know, because you can create things around it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for chatting with me.
Well, thanks for listening.
I just wanted to thank Bernadette McNabb and my mom for sharing those stories with us today for Unceded Airwaves. But before they let me go, my mom had one last thing she wanted to add.
Anyway, hopefully that was helpful for you.
It was.
Good. I'm glad. And just so that you know, the interview, and I can't speak for Bernie, but we're saying this that it may help somebody out there.
That's why you're sharing?
Yep. You asked me a couple of questions and I was answering you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is my hope that by sharing that other people will open up and share. Sometimes it's really hard to do and takes a lot of courage. But by sharing, it may make a huge difference in somebody else's life.
Thanks, Mom. Appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today.
So anyway, hopefully that was helpful.
Okay, thanks, Mama.
You're quite welcome. Love you.
Love you.
So for this next segment, I reached out to a good friend of mine, Blake DeJarlais, to see if he might be interested in sharing a story with us for this week's call-in, call-out show on Unceded Airwaves. And I started off by just asking him to introduce himself.
Okay. So my name is Blake DeJarlais. I'm from the Fishing Lake Métis Settlement. It is protected land that we negotiated with the province in the province of Alberta. It's the only protected Métis land in the country, actually. So it's a Christmas story. And when I was younger, you know, I was fascinated, you know, as a child with this idea of reindeer, you know, that there are these deer that fly in the sky, you know. It's an amazing thing when you're a child, you know, really thinking about that, especially on the plains, you know, on the Great Plains. It's amazing just because the sky is so large, you know, everything's so bright, the northern lights, there's everything. You would just expect to always see this, you know, these reindeer, these giant reindeer in the sky. And I remember one time I went to feed these reindeer. You know, I thought Santa was going to come to my house, you know, give me gifts there. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a way to, you know, help these reindeer. You know, they have came a long way. Fishing Lake isn't close, you know what I mean? It's not close to town. So you have to come a long ways. So I was like, what do reindeer eat? I've never really seen a reindeer, I don't think, a reindeer. You know, I know what, you know, little deer is and other things like it, but I never really understood what a reindeer was, you know, a caribou or something. And I remember watching cartoons, you know, on the TV about, you have to give these reindeers carrots. You know, that's what people give them, is carrots. And, you know, we didn't have any carrots in the house, you know, we didn't have any carrots. So what we did have, though, was, you know, nuts. Like you get, at Christmas time, you get assorted nuts, all these assorted nuts. So these were all of these assorted nuts were in a bowl. And, you know, I remember for some reason, just for some odd reason, I remember feeding, like, our cows and other animals we had on our farm, you know, everything. You know, they just feed them anything, and they eat it. So I was like, you know, I'm sure a reindeer will just, you know, they're not picky. They're going to eat this. They'll eat these nuts, right? They'll eat all this nuts. So I went outside, and of course it's snow, right? There's snow everywhere. So I just go and, like, I start throwing all of these, like, assorted nuts from this bag that we had for Christmas all over the lawn, like, the yard, all the snow. I was like, yeah, just throwing them out there, you know, probably about two bags worth, you know, hundreds of these things. So I was like, there we go. We're going to feed up these reindeer. They're going to be, you know, they're going to have a lot of energy when they're here, and they're going to want to come back. And, you know, I had forgotten about this whole thing. Come in the morning. I had forgotten I had done all this. I was just so happy about Christmas being there. And then I had forgotten it. You know, I didn't mention it to anybody. I just had forgotten the whole thing. So spring comes, and it's spring cleaning, right? And then the snow is melted. And now there's these nuts everywhere. Like, we go outside with a rake, and I just try raking up a little bit. And there's probably, like, there's all these nuts in my rake. You know, all this assorted nuts from the holidays. And I was like, oh, wow, like, how did these get here? And then, you know, lo and behold, all I have left in the whole yard is just all of these nuts, all these assorted nuts. And everybody's just wondering what's going on, and I had forgotten. And now that when I remember, I was embarrassed and didn't want to tell anybody. And all these, they are still everywhere, you know, just puzzling. You know, it became the story of the community, you know, like, how did this happen? You know, how is there, you know, people just gossiping, you know, that's all they have to talk about. And you know, and I remember telling somebody when I was, you know, like 13 or something like that, and it was hilarious then. But then, you know, as a child, I was just so anxious about someone, like, finding out, like, that it was actually me who, you know, went out there and just throwing all these, just wasting food, you know, just throwing nuts all over the snow.
It's probably a mixture of you're trying to help, but at the same time, you know, your parents are going to get mad at you for doing this.
Yeah, no, exactly, because they would be like, why are you, you know what I mean, it was the whole thing, so I couldn't be honest, I guess.
So you're like, I don't know where the nuts came from.
Yeah, I was like, you know, they could have came from anywhere, Mom. Like, nuts in the spring and, you know, the middle of northern Alberta, that makes sense.
That's amazing, that is so funny.
Yeah, I have seven siblings, right, so I was like, it could have been one of them, come on, think about it.
The numbers are working for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Oh, no, my pleasure.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Well, this is the Big Bad Multi Man. You know, when I'm in Vancouver, I listen to RPP Sound and DJ Palanza. Wicked!
All right, so that was those were a few stories that we had contributed to us earlier on this week from Blake DeJarlais, who you heard just before the break, as well as Bernadette McNabb and my mother, Jennifer Sampson, just before that. So as promised, before we let you go, we wanted to reach out one more time to try and speak to Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, well, we couldn't catch him at work, so we thought we'd try elsewhere.
Yeah, so we tried to reach Justin Trudeau at the Parliament pub.
All right, so at this point we've tried calling Justin Trudeau at, I think, three different numbers, and we've probably been transferred about three different times, too.
Yeah, that seems about right. I don't know if we rank in, like, importance, but I feel like we can try him at one more number. It's about the right time of day.
One more number. Okay, yeah. we're gonna give this a go. Hopefully we can catch Justin Trudeau, and then we could really tell him how we feel about Kinder Morgan and a few issues that are have just been on our minds here at Unceded Airwaves. So let's give this a go.
I mean, I'd like to get his honest opinion on some things.
Is it ringing?
It is ringing. So
I hope he's there.
I've got high hopes.
Hi, you've reached Anahi Modi, owner of the Parliament Pub. Due to a delay in construction, our temporary closure will be prolonged until spring of 2016.
Oh,
please like us on Facebook for any updates.
2016.
Have an enjoyable fall and winter.
Yeah, they got real confusing there.
Are they still closed?
We can leave a message. We're actually currently leaving a message. We are the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. We run a program called Unceded Airwaves. If you happen to see Justin Trudeau swing by whenever you do reopen, please let him know that we're anxious to speak to him. You can call us at 604-822-2487. And he might get us, or he might get a different program altogether, depending on the time. But that's okay. As long as he makes the effort, I think our job here will have been done. Good luck with the renovations or whatever. Thanks. So I don't think they're calling us back either.
I feel hopeful, though. Like, maybe he's in there often enough, he might get the message.
I mean, they may be permanently closed, is what I'm getting at.
I don't know. Maybe they're just busy and they couldn't answer the phone or change their voicemail message.
I mean, I would hope so.
People
are
busy in Parliament. That's what we found out today with Justin Trudeau.
Yeah. Although, yeah, well, you're right. You're right.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
I will do that. No judgments here.
I don't know if I can give Justin Trudeau the benefit of the doubt, though.
Yeah, I think he ran out of that a few months ago.
Yeah, and I think he's just ignoring our calls. He knows how we feel about everything.
I would like to have a conversation with him, get it straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, and like, no hard feelings, Justin. Like, honestly, you can call us anytime. Leave a message. Leave your phone number so we can call you back, and we can have a conversation about some of the things you've been doing.
We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And, like, this is like an open line policy for Justin. Like, Justin, I know you're listening, but definitely give us a call. You can reach us on our call-in number. It's 604-822-2487, and that's our studio line.
So that time we actually left the right number with Justin Trudeau, with the Parliament Pub. So I'm really hoping that he calls us back in the next week, and we'll let you know how that goes. But before we go, we're actually out of time today. We're over time. So before we go, we just wanted to leave you with an unseated events listing, and thanks to Nikita.
Yes, so this Sunday, which is December 11th, the Musqueam Holiday Craft Fair is happening. So you can explore over 50 tables of arts and crafts. There's going to be door prizes, concession, raffles, and much more. And it's from 10 to 4. Admission is by donation. And the partial proceeds will go to the MIB Girls Mentorship Program. And if you want more information, there's going to be more info on their Facebook page.
Yeah, and we also posted it on our Unseated Airwaves Facebook and Twitter pages as well for you to check out there. Thank you to everyone who contributed today, Mario Parent, Nikita Day, Hannah Lee Young, Josh Kiyoki, and thank you to Jennifer Sampson, Bernadette McNabb, and Blake DeJarlay for sharing their stories with us. My name is Lisa Gerbov, and we're going to finish off the show with Iskwe Midnight on Unceded Airwaves, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.